So as we jump into this again, we are going to see this screen a lot. We always talk about reach, capture, and convert. And this is really, like Katie said, this is the one place. This is where conversion happens most of the time. So many things we do on the internet is to reach people or to capture them, get them, drive them to the conversion point. And that's where your website really plays a big role. And so it's so critical that you get the website piece of this correct so that when people land there, they are going to convert versus bounce and go somewhere else. You think about when they land on your website, especially if they come through Google, their intent is they're looking for something. They have a challenge in their life. They're trying to find a solution for that. Google takes them to your website. And so if they have an intent, they're either going to find it from you or they're going to find it from your competitor. And so it's really a critical piece to your marketing. And Katie, you talked about this. Everything, whether it's SEO, Google Ads, everything drives back to your website. So,
And I think this slide, Derek, go back to that slide for just a second. This slide's a really good look at everything that we're going to be talking about when it comes to digital marketing. Digital marketing can feel overwhelming because there's so many pieces to it. And this slide, I think, highlights that. So, but you'll see how critical the website is. And then you have some chunks of things, right? You have social media, you have local service ads, you have Google Ads. And then from each one of those, they break into a million different pieces and parts to that. And so hopefully, as we kind of chunk this out a little bit and talk about one thing at a time, you can really laser focus on your tools and the resources you have for your business and get some takeaways that can make them better one little piece at a time instead of trying to tackle like the whole digital marketing piece. But you can pull hopefully something out today about your website that's going to make it convert a little bit better so that each of these other tactics you're going to use are going to work better to drive leads and convert leads.
awesome. So this is it's when we talk about a website, we talk about that conversion point. It's super important to understand what your website is about and who it is for. And we really want to focus on the user or your customer. If you focus on your customer, all else will follow. As we live in a world of increased connectivity, of wanting things right now, and having a very, 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 I've got to have it now, I don't want to wait, mentality, that we focus our attention on what our customers want and need, then everything else will seem to fall into place. Understanding how our customers behave and giving them the information that fits into their behaviors is a critical piece of marketing.
So take a minute and actually kind of think about your customers, right? As we go into this, we're going to talk more about them here in just a minute. But Derek, this is one of your very favorite slides of all time, right? We always laugh about this. And actually, I think that it might even be less than this. But in 2000, they did a study and they found that humans haven't had an attention span of 12 seconds, right? A goldfish has an attention span of 9 seconds. That's crazy. In 2022, humans have an attention span of 6 seconds. Like we are so quick to bounce to different things and we want information so fast that our attention span is literally less than a goldfish.
Less than a goldfish, like who's in a bowl, just swimming, who can't keep their focus more than 9 seconds. And that goes to this whole point of this constantly connected world that we live in, being bombarded, being overwhelmed with more and more information at the tips of our fingertips constantly, our attention span just really has decreased and continues to do so. So keep that in mind also as we're building out the website where people are going to land to get more information. Our customers today are more curious, more patient, and more demanding than they ever have been. And but that's not necessarily a bad thing. Because of the internet, we can provide them with like the best and the most important information that they're looking for. This new, you know, the fact that these customers are more curious, more impatient, more demanding, has really created this newly empowered customer. They have a wealth of information in the palms of their hands, and we want to make sure that we give them the information when they're there.
Remember last week we talked about the first thing we do in the morning is pick up our phones, and the last thing we do before we go to bed is set those phones down. This is that behavior is what's driving this newly empowered customer. So the person, the company, you, who knows and understands that and can set up a system to cater to it, you're ahead of the game, right? You are way ahead of the game when you understand this about your customers. And this is what you're going to do, right? This is the goal, is we want to be there wherever they are. So we're going to talk a little bit about understanding not only who our customers are, but where they are, because where they are is where we want to be. If they're on Facebook, we want to be on Facebook. If they're using Google Ads, we want to be using Google Ads. And then we want to be valuable, right? Your website is the opportunity to really add value. Make it something that when they land there, they get what they're looking for and be quick. We know that with a 6 second, 12 second attention span, we've got to be quick. And so we're going to talk about what that means when it comes to your website.
I love this, what it says, you know, about the valuable piece by offering meaningful experiences. We really have the ability to create a fantastic experience for our customers online, even though we, you know, from our website, we're not face to face with our customers yet. We can start that experience with them right there on the internet. Yesterday, Katie, when we were sitting in Howard's class, we were at his boot camp. One of the major points of a phenomenal business is to create a phenomenal experience for your customers. And this is where that experience can start, is right here on your website.
So if you think about the time and the attention and the effort you put into your referral marketing, right? If you want to have phenomenal referral marketing, and you want to have phenomenal relationships when you go out and connect with people, you put some real effort into that experience. We need to be putting that same effort into our website. So when people are connecting with us digitally, they're also having a phenomenal experience online.
Exactly. So let's jump into the meat and potatoes of this whole, what is a great website, or what makes a great website? And there are a number of things to think about when we're designing this whole experience. A website, first and foremost, needs to be goal-oriented. What is the goal of your website? And this, I think this is a really quick and easy way to confuse your customers, is if the goal that you want to accomplish is not clearly visible to them from the very, very start. So be sure you think about what is the goal, and then build your business or your website around that. Is it to call somebody? Is it to fill out a form? Is it to give them more information? What is the goal that's the most important?
And if you're a service-based business, which most of you are, I'm going to guess that the majority of us on this call, like, our goal is for somebody to call us, right? Is that your goal? Is somebody, we like, that's what we want, is somebody to call us. Probably the second most common goal is we want them to fill out a form, like one of those two methods. Anybody have a different goal than call me or fill out a form? Yeah. Those are the main goals. And so that's the first thing you're going to be thinking about is it clear when somebody lands on my site that I want them to call me?
Exactly. And then is your website intuitive? Is it easy to use? Is it organized? There's nothing that will get someone to jump off of your website faster than if it's not easy to navigate, if it's jumbled, if there's so much stuff on there that they can't figure out what the next step is supposed to be or where they go to get more information. So is it organized? Is it useful? Are you providing them with great and useful information? Is it functional? Is there things on there that make it useful, right? That, you know, is there information, maybe there's some way that you can, you know, maybe it's a chat feature, or Howard talks about having some kind of a pop-up where they can opt in to different things. Is there things that are make your website functional? And then ultimately, which we're going to talk as we go farther into this in other weeks when we talk about then getting it found, is it built in a way and organized in a way that it is search friendly? Because all of this is really pointless if at the end of the day we create this awesome billboard for our customers and then we park it in a cornfield where there's absolutely no traffic. So we have to build a website very search friendly so that it can be found on search engines, and we can move that billboard out of the cornfield and onto the interstate where there is a lot of traffic that sees it all of the time.
Edgar had a great question for us. Is so does it mean there's 6 seconds for them to go through this the website, or six seconds to capture their attention? And what we want is, because we know they have such a short attention span, we want to capture their attention quickly. And then we want to capture it in such a compelling way by having a useful, valuable, organized website that they're going to stay on longer, right? We want them to stay on, but we've got to capture them quickly.
In just a minute, Edgar, we're going to talk about like that first 7 to 10 seconds and what you've got, the questions you've got to answer mm-hmm. for your customers when they land on your website. So we'll talk about that and answer in, more in depth as we get through a few more of these slides. That's okay.
But really, really great question. Yeah. Really great question.
So goal oriented, we started into this just a little bit, a few minutes ago, but think about who is your target audience. Try to understand who your customers are. I think we mess this up a lot. And I've seen this happen time and time and time again. We forget that this website is about our customers, not about us. And, you know, like Katie and I and Jessica, we're here at the experience these next couple of days. And during this time, we're gonna see and talk to a lot of people who talk industry terminology, like they start talking about water mitigation, or they talk about mold remediation. We talk about all of the equipment that we use and all that kind of stuff, all the stuff that makes our job easier and that makes us, you know, understand our industry. But is that type of stuff important to your customers? Think about that. Do they care? But then also, how do your customers act? How do they think? How do they think when they're looking for the services that you are providing, how do they live their lives, right? And then try to define that audience very, very narrowly.
I think that there's also one more thing to consider, which is what is their state of mind when they need you?
Yep.
Right? What is their state of mind when they need you? Are they in an emergency situation and they're panicky and they're upset? Or are they calm and relaxed and planning a vacation leisurely, right? Like, what, depending on what you're providing or what you're offering them, consider what is their state of mind when they need you?
Exactly. And think about those emotions and play to those emotions.
All right. Anybody familiar with Donald Miller's book, Building a Story Brand? This is an excellent book that we really love. I would recommend, you know, you check it out, but it changes the way you think about things, right? Because we automatically put ourselves as the hero, right? You're going to help somebody with a water damage or something, and you're not the hero, right? We talk like we are the hero of something, but this changes that. And I want you to start thinking about your website in terms of who is the actual hero? What is your role in this story? And how can we portray all that on a website so that it converts?
Donald Miller, in that book, he talks about everything, every movie, everything is a story. And every story, every movie that is a box office hit follows the same pattern. There is a main character. The main character is, like Katie said, is the hero of that story who has some kind of a problem. Matter of fact, and that problem is threefold, right? It's philosophical. It is, there's some kind of an external problem. They have some kind of an internal challenge that they're dealing with. And some kind of philosophical challenge. They are needing to figure out how to solve this problem. They are looking for a guide who will give them some kind of a plan. This plan will call them to action, tell them what they need to do, and that plan will lead them to success and help them to avoid failure. And you think about every single movie that you love, that this pattern, that story follows this pattern. I love, you know, Donald Miller talks about the whole Star Wars story. And, you know, I grew up on Star Wars, so I relate to this so well. You know, like Luke Skywalker, he had a problem. His external problem was he had the Empire, which was threatening to destroy all freedom. The internal problem was, am I a Jedi? If being a Jedi is going to help me defeat the Empire, am I really a Jedi? And then his philosophical challenge, you know, is the conflict between good versus evil. He meets Obi-Wan Kenobi, who is a Jedi, who gave him a plan to help him to learn how to trust the Force so that he could then defeat the Empire and crush or keep the rebellion from being crushed and ultimately bring balance to the galaxy. So that is the storyline of Star Wars. We won't go in, you know, there's more. I love the Hunger Games. We won't go into that, but you can think about how this story plays out in every event in our lives. And this is the story that you need to comply with or follow when you're building your website. Who is the hero of your story? What is your customer's needs? What are their problems? What is their external problems? What do they deal with? Are they dealing with internally? And what are their philosophical challenges? You are the guide You are the one who can help them solve their problems by giving them a plan.
You are the Obi-Wan Kenobi of their story.
That's right, or the Yoda, right? The Yoda story, who is going to call them to action. And because your plan is the plan that can lead them to success and help them avoid all of the problems and all of the struggles that they have because of this, because of the challenge in their, that are, they're going through in their lives. So this is how you put together, you think about as you're putting together your website. Make sense?
So if this is the process to create a blockbuster movie, and it is without fail, you can go through any great movie and it has this process to it, right? It is also the process to turning your website into a blockbuster website, right? We want a website that does this. So with your team or just yourself, and maybe it's just easy and it just pops into your head, right? You can answer those couple questions like, okay, what is my ideal customer, my ideal client? What is their external challenge? What is their internal challenge? And what is their philosophical challenge? And that might look different. If you have a variety of different services, you might want to do that, answer that question for a variety of different services, and then start to work on how that storyline would look for your website.
Excellent. So, Edgar, here's the answers to your questions. When someone comes to your website, you literally have, like we talked about before, the attention span of a gnat, right? Four questions that your website has to answer within 7 seconds or less. These you have to answer these or your customers are going to bounce off of your site. Who are you? Like, make it very, they need to know who you are, what you do. What is it that you do? And then ultimately, how is what you do? How are you going to make my life better? This is where the emotional part of the story comes in, because you've got to tell them how their life is going to be better by calling you and by using your services. And then ultimately, again, this is where the goal comes in. How do I, if I'm your customer, how do I buy? How do I take the next step? How do I pay you money to have you do these, to provide these services for me? You answer those first four questions on the main page that they land on that, and you know, Donald Miller calls it the header of your website, or we call it, you know, above the fold. Before they start to scroll, you've got to answer those four questions.
And I love like that third one, that third question, how will you make my life better? There's a couple of different ways you can do this. One of those ways is you can install a little bit of fear, right? Like, hey, what it's like if you don't use me, right? You can use a little bit of reverse there. I think Howard Partridge's website, howardpartridge.com, does a really good job on there. Maybe I don't know if it's howardpartridge.com or Clean as a Whistle, but it has the ebook that you can buy on there. It's like how to avoid like the nightmare of like a bad cleaner or something. I can't remember the exact name of it, but that's the same thing, right? It's like, how will I make your life better? I can help you avoid that nightmare. So yeah, there's some different ways to do this, but you got to do it really fast. And it's not complicated, right? Who are you? You're going to have your logo displayed up on there. What do you do? You're going to say it, right? Don't assume somebody knows what you do or who you are. And then tell them exactly what to do. And we'll talk about that a little bit more.
Awesome. So, and this is also a big mistake that companies make when they're building out their website. While it is true that most people will land on your homepage, companies, graphic designers do this, web designers make this mistake as well too. They spend a lot of time, energy, effort on the homepage to make sure that it's perfect, that the message comes across, and which is a critical piece. But then they fail or they fall short on the other pages of the website. And it's critical to remember that your website needs to convert those customers, your customers, on the first page that they land on. And the first page they land on may not necessarily be your homepage. For example, if you decide that you're going to run Google Ads, or you're going, and when you run Google Ads, you want that experience to be very specific to the user. And so your ads are likely going to direct your customer to the page on the website that is specific to the service that you provide. If it's carpet cleaning, you want them to land on the carpet cleaning page. If it's, you know, if it's water damage, you want them to land on the water damage page. And so it's important to put the same type of thought and answer those four questions on every page of your website. It needs to be very specific. We don't want to dilute the content and make it, and we don't want to have duplicate copy. We don't want each page to basically be a copy of the page before. We want it to be, we want to have a single page for every relevant service that we provide. If, for example, if you're a carpet cleaner and you provide carpet cleaning, upholstery cleaning, tile and grout cleaning, maybe you also do odor removal, you do carpet repair, all of those types of things, while on the homepage, you will have highlights of each one of those. You want to have a specific page on each, for on your website for each one of those services, and build into them, into each one of those pages, that framework that we talked about before.
Very good. I think that that idea of emotion sells, right? Derek highlighted on it just a little bit. Pictures are very important and compelling to have on your website, but anywhere that you can go add video, right? When you get live, like moving sound, you can add so much more emotion if you have videos. So I recommend, like, go take a look through your website and be like, where can I add some video? And it doesn't have to be like high-end professional video. You can shoot some pretty good video just on an iPhone and upload it in different places to your website where, you know, you've got maybe the doctor in your office is talking about something way more compelling, explaining a service that you have, or you have a customer talking about something, or you're explaining a process, right? You have a lot of opportunities to really impact someone with emotion by adding a little more video into your website.
One more thing I just noticed as we talked before about that question about how are you going to make my life better? And you talked about, you know, kind of giving them, putting a little bit of fear in them of what they, how to avoid the challenges. That is a super awesome and compelling way to solve that challenge. But also you could think about, and I love this little line on this little screenshot of this water damage page that I've got here. When you talk about how are you going to make my life better, you could also talk in terms of the state of mind and of your customers, and that, like, I love how this says you deserve peace of mind when your home suffers a water damage. You didn't ask to have this challenge. You didn't want to go through this problem. You deserve to have the best. You deserve to have this peace of mind. So speak in terms of that emotional state that your customer wants to have when they're going through a challenge. Okay. A great website is intuitive. We'll dive into this just a little bit more as well too. And Katie, you may need to help me because I've got all of these videos, all the camera on the right-hand side of my screen. I can't see.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. Okay, just functionally, right? You're going to think of your website in two ways. How does it look on a desktop? And how does it look on a mobile, right? And so if you have not Googled your own website from your phone lately, you should do that, right? Go ahead, put your website address into your phone, pull it up, and just see if it's looking good. If it's like, if the menu's easy to get to, if that responsiveness from a mobile device is working good. Sometimes you'll look on a mobile device and you'll be like, oh man, my words are all jacked up and on different lines, or, oh, that button's not working. Like, be sure and check it and make sure it's working. You got the functionality so that they can navigate a menu really easily. You're going to make sure things like colors make sense and graphics make sense and fonts are all uniform. You don't want a website that's got, you know, a million different colors and a 10 different fonts and all of this stuff. You're going to make it, the design just makes sense. And really, everything right now is trending towards pretty major simplifying, right? It, you just get to the point, you're very direct, you're very specific, and you're simplifying what this website looks like without losing the emotion and without losing the content that you're gonna need on it.
Awesome. So a great website design typically has, and just to piggyback off of what Katie was saying, it's got attractive and consistent graphics. If you're going to use pictures that are compelling. I get asked all the time, should we use our own pictures or should we use stock photos? And the answer to that question is use pictures that are attractive, that give a great message, and that don't muddy it up. If you're going to use your own pictures, which are great if you're going to try to tell that story, make sure they're high quality pictures, that they're not blurred out, that the lighting is good, that when someone lands on it, remember it's an experience that you're trying to give your customers. And so if this is the first time they're landing on your website, you want to give them a great experience. So have attractive graphics, simple navigation, potentially a site search on your website. Make sure that the text is well written. Please have somebody in your office, maybe multiple people in your office, proofread the text and make sure that it's well written, it's readable, that it's grammatically correct, that it's not, there's not misspellings, then that the punctuation is correct. Make sure, again, you're giving your customers an experience and make sure that it's the best experience they can have. And then, you know, are there useful tools that you can use on your website? And like Katie said, don't forget mobile. Again, most people, I think the current number is 65%+ of people use their mobile phone to find information. And so if you want the same experience they would get on a desktop to transfer to mobile, responsive designs are the way that it happens now. I remember, Katie, remember back in the day when responsiveness was just coming out and people had to have, before mobile sites were responsive, they had to have a desktop site and they had to have a mobile site. Well, yeah. Now, especially like website CRMs have made it super easy to only have to have one website, but you can set up that responsiveness to make your website really have a great experience.
I mean, have you ever had to go to a website and like use your fingers to try to expand the text? Does that drive you crazy? Like, we don't like that, right? We want to be able to see the stuff when we land on it. Or have you ever tried to click a phone number and it's not a click to call. That bothers us, right? Because remember, we're demanding. We want to be able to pull up my phone, look at something, click on a number to call, or, you know, see the things that I want to see without having to expand it. So all those things are important when it comes to that user experience when they're looking at your website on mobile.
Awesome. And it's a great website is organized. In the world of website design, we use what's called information architecture, or IA, which is just a way to organize your information on a website so that it can achieve your business goals. And so when you think about how you're going to set up and design your website, how would you organize it? Obviously, you're going to have a homepage, have some kind of an about us page. Think about, make your about us page, the information about you as a company, your team, your staff, make that, spend some time on that, because especially from a service-based business, once your customers decide that you do offer services that they're providing or that they're looking for, the very next thing they're going to do is they're going to check out who is it that's behind this company. What is their structure like? Who is it that's going to come into my home? Right? They want your About Us page is another wonderful place to build trust in your company with your customer. So don't discount the About Us page. Make sure that you spend time on that.
It's also a really great place for video, right?
It's a great,
really, really great place for video.
Right? So make sure that your website is organized. Use short descriptive names and labels, especially in your menu. Keep the visitors in mind. Where would they look for things when they come to your website? And keep the most important information in the navigation. Think about this too. Like, I see all the time businesses who are trying to reinvent the wheel when it comes to human behavior. We literally have been brainwashed or taught since we were in kindergarten or younger to read from the left to the right and in a Z format. So don't try to change that. If your customer's natural tendency is to read left to right, which it is, and in a Z pattern down the page, then put the most important information in a way they're going to read it. Who are you? Typically, you're going to see that logo of your company up in the upper left-hand corner. They're going to read to the right. And so if that's where you want to put the goal of the website, which is to call. So put that phone number in big button or big letters or numbers at the top right-hand corner. And then follow that reading pattern down through in a Z pattern through your business or through your website. Don't try to recreate something that they've been taught from a very young age, right?
Donald Miller teaches in his book StoryBrand, and I think this is so smart. Never make your client burn a calorie trying to figure out who you are, what you do, or how they buy, right? So if you have you ever landed on a website and you're like, who are these guys? Like, what do they do? How do I check out, right? Never, never, never. You don't want your clients to burn a single calorie trying to answer those three questions.
Is your website useful, right? Useful has everything to do with the content of your website, right? The content is the glue. It's the substance of your website, right? And we've been talking about our attention span. We've been talking about making it quick. Use short descriptive names and labels. create content that is super useful to your audience. Use information architecture to organize it, and then, well, and make sure that the content is recognizable to search engines. So obviously, content is anything you're going to put on that website. If it's text, if it's images, if it's video, if it's photos, whatever it is, make sure that it's organized and that it is valuable and useful to your customers.
So let's talk about images for just a second on a website. We want Google to recognize those images as content, right? Because we want it to be something that gets crawled so that we can rank better. In order for an image to be viewed as content, you need to do something. Your web developer needs to do something on the back end of that website. And that is, all of the images need to have what's called alt text, A-L-T text. If you just have an image up there, Google does not know what that is and cannot read it. So for every image on your website, you need to go in and create alt text on the back end of it. So for example, if I have a photo on my website that is about carpet cleaning, right? Then the alt text on that image is going to be something like carpet cleaning Salt Lake City, right? I'm going to put what the image is about, and I'm probably even going to maybe add like a location that I think is important for my search engine optimization. So we want Google to be able to read images, but we need to tell it what they are by having every image with alt text.
That's right.
You can't see that. You can't see that on the front end of your site. That's nothing that anybody's going to be able to see as they just view your site, but it's what those Google bots are going to be crawling as they go through it.
Because the bots don't see images. They don't see video either, right? That has to be described in text.
Correct.
Great. Correct.
Okay, any questions? Have we missed anybody? Melanie, it looks like you've got a hand up. Let's take a minute here and just answer a few questions.
So when you say alt text, is that where you guys are saying when a blind person is trying to figure out what your image is about?
Not really, because, okay, so let's say you have two audiences for your website all the time. One of them is your human customer, right? And that's where we want to have emotion and make it easy, all of that stuff. So you got your human customer, but the other audience you always have for your website are Google bots, right? The bots that crawl the back end of your website, that decide how you're going to rank and what different things are for. The alt text for images is really for the Google bots so that they can identify what that is a picture of. Any other questions?
Question.
Yeah.
Hi, it's Roger.
Hi, Roger.
How are you?
So good.
This is amazing stuff, by the way. Phenomenal.
Oh,
phenomenal.
Excellent.
Glad you like it.
I'm so happy to hear that.
This is exactly what I've been waiting for. Is of course, you know, Howard always brings it, you know what I mean? So that helps bring you guys in to do this.
Yep.
So the question that I have is, so when we're talking about alt text, can you just break down like the process of how you would set that up in your website? Let's say it's a WordPress theme.
Yep.
Could you kind of just go through that? Just so like if I want to put a picture of my team in Fort Worth in Wapaga, yep. And then would I
take what I was gonna,
picture at the location or how? Tell me a little bit how that works so I can work on my location,
you bet.
SEO, my mapping, all that stuff.
You bet. And Jess, I'm going to let you hop in here too if you want to get more specific about it. But you're basically going to log into WordPress, into the admin, the back end part of your WordPress, right? Going in as an admin, go to the page that you want to go to, and then you'll see it's, I think in mine, it always comes up on the right hand side. You can select the image that's uploaded, or you can upload a new image. And then you'll be able to, right there where that image is, you'll see a little small thing that says alt text. And that's literally where you're gonna just type in those keywords. Don't get overly creative with it. Don't overstuff the keyword when you're doing your alt text. It's pretty simple, right? You can get creative with your keywords and your categories and all that in other places on your website, but alt text, keep it pretty basic. Window washing, Dallas or whatever. So something like that. Jess, any other thing you want to add on adding your alt text in there?
On top of the alt text, I would make sure their image file is named after the keyword that you want to go after. So when you upload it, the keyword is in the URL of the image when it goes through search.
Good point.
Oh yeah, great point there.
Yeah.
See, there's a reason why she's here, because she brings all of the cool stuff to it. Nice job, Jess. That answer your question, Roger?
Yes, and then, you know, that of course that brings up many other questions, but I will keep it specific to alt text, you know. Brings up questions of keywords, negative keywords, you know, all the good stuff that goes through your mind of like what you're wanting to how you're wanting to, you know. And yeah. That's why I had somebody doing this for me, it is good to know this stuff, so just in case.
Well, it's important when you're talking about the keywords and everything, right? This is the back end part of the website, but it matters because what the keywords are that are put there, what the categories are for your blog posts, what the alt tags say for your images, right? It's not stuff you see when you look at your website, but it's the stuff that determines how well your website's going to rank, right? And so it's important.
Exactly.
And we, I should say this, we haven't said this, but if you want us to take a look at your website, like you might be like, I don't even know how to get to the back end of my website. Like, what does that look like? What am I looking for? We are more than happy to schedule a time with you and we'll go through your website with you. And we can actually say, hey, looks great. This is where you're missing. This is the opportunity. This is how you do that. Or this is how we can do it for you. And so if you want us to do that one-on-one time where we're not talking about website stuff in generalities, but we dig into your website specifically, Derek and I are happy to do that. So if you just want to put your name in the chat, or I think Jess maybe put a Calendly link already in there, or Derek and my cell phone numbers are there. We're happy to go through your site specifically and go through this stuff. So, okay.
Awesome.
All right, Derek, we got 9 minutes.
We got a cruise then. All right, so this just some quick best practices about texts. Again, use your website to tell your business story in that information architecture. You know, don't just throw a bunch of text out there. Use bullet points and make sure that you're using important keywords in your text. Images, we've talked about this already, so we may skip over, we can breeze through this. Just again, make sure that your images are high quality images. Do they complement your site design? Are they authentic? Are they yours? Or have you purchased the rights for them if they're stock images? If you're gonna use stock photos, make sure that you have purchased the ability to, and you have permission to use them. If you don't, that can come back and bite you.
if you want stock images, what we use that we really like is a website called stock.com. They have a lot of great images. They're really pretty affordable. You can buy single images or you can buy packages of them depending on what you need. So if you wanted to go and get some packages or some photos that you have the rights to, we really like istock.com.
And remember, this is also a critical piece, is make sure that your images are sized and formatted correctly. If you don't have these images, pictures formatted, sized correctly, that is one of the quickest ways to slow down your website when it comes to load times. And we've talked about this in the past, like your website needs to load and function quickly. And your images, if they're too big, they can really slow down that the user experience because it will take too long to load. All right.
Hey, Derek.
Yes, ma'am.
Edgar has a question that I just told him is actually one of your very favorite questions to answer. So I'm gonna let you answer this.
You'll have to give me a question because I can't.
I will. I'm going to. He says, on your homepage, you mentioned having a logo. Instead, how do you feel about having an image of your van since he's a service business? How do you feel about people having images of their vans on their homepage, Derek?
I'm not a huge fan of having pictures of your van simply because I'm not saying that you're having a picture of your van is not, you shouldn't have it on your website. I think there's just a place, there's places for it, and it's not in the very first place people see. Simply the reason that I have for that is because your customers, okay, for example, Edgar, you're a carpet cleaning company. If you think about the experience that your customers want, they want to have clean carpets. They want to have they want to have a beautiful home, right? If they could have that, they could have everything they want without ever having you and all of that bulky equipment and all of that stuff come into their house, they would do it. And so, but they, we know they can't have it, but we don't need to remind them of what the experience is, that you're going to be, you know, pulling up to their house in a big van, running equipment all the way through their house to give them, you know, what it is they want. So your customers don't really know or care about what your equipment is or what your van is. They are really looking for, remember, they're looking for an experience. So I'm not a huge fan of making my van and how great my van looks the focal point of the conversation. I don't want that to be the first thing people see. I may push it down the page a little bit because we do want to build, you know, we want people to know, you know, that we're going to show up in a logoed van and we're going to give, you know, and it's going to be professional, and we don't drive around like, you know, like the picture that Howard Partridge shows of Bubba and his, you know, his van down by the river. But there's a place for those. I just don't feel like it is the first thing you want to show people on your website. Does that help? I don't see Edgar.
Yes, he is shaking his head and giving you a thumbs up. We're good.
All right, great.
Yes.
Awesome. So there, as we get close to wrapping up, we just want to talk really quickly about video. Remember that through videos, you can have conversations with your customers. It's a great way to make connections by having your viewers subscribe, especially because you're going to use like YouTube videos on your website. And you know, ultimately video can be a huge conversion tool and turn viewers into customers. People love video. They love to see the process. They love to have things explained. They love to see, and it's shy of them being able to feel and touch the experience. Video is a great way to put them in, help them experience what it is that you will do for them in their homes. So video can be a huge piece, a huge conversion piece here on your website. Anything to add to that, Katie? I know that you are a huge cheerleader for video.
I am a huge cheerleader for video. And here's a little tip. It just went into the chat as well, but if you missed it in the chat, there's a really great free resource called Canva, canva.com. It's great for making images, flyers, social media posts, a whole bunch of things. But Canva recently just added a video editing function. So you can edit videos super, super easy using Canva. So Roger, I know you've had your hand raised here for a while. Thank you for being so patient. Go ahead. Did we get you already, well, Roger?
Yeah. The question along the same lines of this, the question that I had was, is when choosing an iStock, because I use iStock Photo myself and it's great, but I've also, there's two questions I had that you brought up and maybe it'll help everyone else. Number one, I've had people email me from photos that I've gotten off of iStock saying that we are using these photos without permission. And what, to me, I guess the question is, are these legitimate emails that I'm receiving, or are they actually scams, people trying to scam money out of us if I purchase them through a place called iStock? Does that make sense?
Oh, can I answer this question? Okay. So Roger, there are legitimate claims and there are a lot of spammy claims. And the first thing I would look for is, number one, where is the email coming from? Okay. Look at the email address, right? And typically it's not going to come from a company. It's going to say, something at Gmail or something.
It will use the name in some way. It will look like it, but it won't actually be true.
So it will have like an at Gmail. And if it's an at Gmail, that's the first flag, because it's not coming from a domain hosted domain. Number two, really pay attention to the content, because for example, the biggest scam or spammy ones I see right now, we get these probably to the tune of two or three a month. We have clients who send us emails, forward us emails of the same thing that happens to you. And like, read the text. If it sounds unprofessional, if they're using terms like, one of the big things is they say, they chew you out for using their forms, and they try to make it personal, and they say that's just and they potentially even use vulgar or crappy language. If that's happening, remember that is a scam, right? Matter of fact, if they send you to a link, the link doesn't work anyway. You don't need to click on the link. But ones that are legitimate will come from a domain hosted domain. They will typically come, they're very legalese. And they're demanding money. Like, they're demanding a specific amount of money. The ones I've seen that are spammy don't really ask for money. So just be really, the biggest key is to look at where they're coming from. And that will give you the biggest. And then if you've got the license, those spammy ones, ignore it anyway. But if you have the license and it is the real deal, then you have nothing to worry about.
Oh, I could take this conversation another hour. But anyway, that's it.
I could talk to you about another hour. I literally almost not a week goes by that a customer does not forward us the same type of an email. And we purchase all of our images. So when we know there's not an issue. So anyway.
Okay, we are over time, and appreciate you guys sticking around. We're getting some really great questions in chat, and I don't want to ignore some of them. And so I think next week when we come on, we will start off finishing up this discussion on website. And I really want to talk to you. There's a great question in here about using, automated chats or live chat functions on your website. And I think that warrants a good discussion. Like, should you have a chat feature, and what does that look like? And so we'll start off next week and we'll just kind of wrap up this website discussion. We'll take a few minutes for questions. So if you want to send us over any questions we didn't get to now, so you don't have to remember them for a whole week, we'll put them all together, come back on and answer some of those next week, because I think, like we said in the beginning, getting your website right is critical. And so let's spend some time talking through some of these questions and getting some final information out there. But appreciate you guys coming on. I hope you have a really phenomenal week.
Thank you.